This podcast is brought to you by the Health Ranger Store, offering laboratory-validated nutritional and superfood products. Visit our selection now at healthrangerstore.com/nutrition, and thank you for your support. I'm really going to challenge your thinking with this podcast. In fact, at first, when you hear what I'm about to say, you will think the opposite. And then, when I explain it, you will go, huh? And you will start to think about it in the correct way. And I do mean correct, with great confidence. I do love teaching, and this is a very important concept that I'm going to share with you here. It's all about starvation versus food in our world. So let's start with a couple of things that we can all completely agree upon. We can all agree that there are some people somewhere in this world who are starving, right? There are populations of people and children in developing nations in particular, but not only there, there are also some in inner cities in developed nations who are starving. They don't have enough food. And yet, at the same time, and I know we can all agree on this point as well, there are lots of people in the world who have too much food. They are obese, correct? In fact, according to Bloomberg, for the first time in history, more people in the world are obese than underweight. This is the first time in the world. There's a story on that. It says the world now has too much food. That the global access to cheap food has become easier. So here's the question to you, and here's the lesson. If we have so many people who are starving, and yet at the same time we have so many other people who are eating too much, and we have too much food in the world, why is it that some people are starving at all? I'd like you to think very clearly and honestly with yourself about this. Is the problem that we haven't given them enough food? The answer is no. It is not a lack of food that leads to starvation. In fact, here's what I challenge you to understand. It is the lack of liberty that is leading to starvation. In fact, in these countries where there is starvation, I'm not going to name particular ones, I don't want to embarrass particular nations, but just in a general sense, you know, many of them are in Africa, for example. Some are in South America. Some are in Asia. But wherever there is starvation, what you have there is a situation where there is a lack of political freedom, a lack of liberty, a lack of, let's say, the democratization or the distribution of power to the people. And us in the West, especially the delusional, gullible people in America who like to buy off their own personal guilt by donating food to what they think are starving children in other countries. They make these donations and they send food to these other countries and they call it food aid. And so many Westerners think that they are solving the starvation problem by sending food. Well, I'm here to tell you that these people, you cannot solve their problem with food. You can solve it with liberty, and then the food will follow. I'm not saying don't send them food. I'm saying that to really solve the long-term problem, they need liberty. In fact, they're starving from a lack of liberty more than anything else. And this is why, because if you send large volumes of food, that food will be confiscated or monopolized by the cartels of power that exist in those countries. The very cartels, or you might say the political regime, that has caused the lack of liberty that has led to starvation in the first place. So you can send all the food aid you want to, let's say, a starving African nation. But most of that food aid is going to get taken over by the armed gangs running the country, who are all criminal government cartels. And it is essentially gang warfare. The government is just the largest gang. That's it. In a lot of these places, the government is just the most well-armed gang. And so the food aid goes to them first, and then they promise the United Nations or UNICEF or whoever. Yeah, they promise them, oh, we'll distribute the food to the people. But they don't. Of course they don't. They are a gang. They are a criminal cartel. What they do is they take delivery of the food and then they sell it on the black market to make more money, to buy more weapons, to exert more control over the population that's starving. You understand how this works? What I'm describing to you is the real world, not the fairy tale, Disneyland, fantasy land that is presented to you on CNN or, you know, in television advertisements and nonprofit advertisements that promise you your donation may feed a child for 15 days. Not really. Most likely your donation is going to go directly into the hands of some criminal gang, cartel, government, bureaucrat, in that country who's going to deny giving that food to that child that you thought you were helping. And so because we're all compassionate and we all want to help other people, we want to help starving children, we don't want to see children starve all over the world, we must be correct. We must take the responsibility of exerting the right kinds of reforms and the right kinds of actions that can lead to long-term freedom, liberty, democratization in these target countries, whereby starvation is no longer even relevant because the people have access to free markets of food, where there is a middle class, where people have jobs and employment, because, for example, contract law is respected. You know, contract law is crucial for establishing an abundant society. And you can't have contract law when your nation is run by a criminal government regime. You know, if a government itself does not abide by the laws, then you have a lawless society, and a lawless society cannot give rise to an abundant a city or nation of any kind, because there's no predictability in the law. If there's no reason for anyone to work for a living or start a business if the criminal gang government can just come along and steal everything from them. You know, what's the point of planting an orchard as a private citizen to grow, I don't know, nut trees or dates or fruit or what have you if private property law is not respected? Because an orchard might take 5, 6, 10 years even to start producing a lot of food. During that time, the government just comes along and takes it from you and confiscates it and usually misuses it and ruins it. Then what's the point in investing in an orchard? What's the point in owning land? What's the point in planting seeds if the criminal regime just comes and takes it from you? So you see, when it comes to starvation around our world, it always comes down to a lack of liberty, a lack of democratization. It is, you can't even really have agriculture in a society unless there is some degree of freedom in place, some degree of law and order in essence. You know, respect for the law, a judicial system that is fair and just, or at least somewhere on that spectrum. So it's very easy for us to think, oh yeah, there are children starving and let's help them. But we must think more carefully about the situation and ask, why are they starving? Why do they not have food? Why are they living in poverty? And why, when we keep sending food aid, is there never enough food in the mouths and bellies of those who seem to need it? And the answer is not a lack of food. The answer is a lack of freedom. So the very best things that we can do in this world, and this is where I challenge you to think clearly, is we must promote liberty above all else. If we're going to intervene in some foreign nation, we should intervene in ways that are long-term, productive, proactive, that create societies that are self-reliant for the long term. It is no use for us to do one-time gifts that end up going into the hands of government cartels. It is no use. It doesn't even help the people we intended to help. What is far more useful is to, for example, I'm not saying this is the total solution, but just as an example, you could teach principles of democracy, of representational government. You could teach principles of private property. And you can't just change cultures overnight, obviously. I'm not suggesting that you can, but you can at least begin to introduce these ideas. And for a lot of these third world countries, they don't even understand, they've never been taught the concept of private property or agriculture or planting seeds or saving seeds or producing a harvest or voting for public officials who represent the people rather than the interests of the corrupt regime government. All of these things have to be taught. You're not just born with these concepts. You actually have to learn them. And even though many of them are based on divine rights or human rights, they still are not necessarily intuitive. They have to be taught. So really it comes down to the best interventions that we can do globally, if we're going to get into this business of intervening in foreign nations, which I know is a debatable concept all by itself. But if we're going to go to the trouble of going there and trying to make a difference, then it's not enough to just send bags of rice and so on. That's just creating or really doing nothing to end the long-term problem. Along with the bags of rice, we should bring an education of liberty, of freedom. And along with that, and I know this is going to sound very controversial to some of you, but believe it or not, the entire history of liberty in the United States was based on the idea that the population had a Second Amendment, had the right to bear arms, so that they could overthrow a corrupt, armed government regime that was powering over them and domineering over them. So believe it or not, one of the best things that we can do around the world is empower the citizens of countries who are suffering under corrupt dictatorships, empower those citizens with the knowledge and the tools to take back their own countries and establish democracies where people have the right to bear arms, which in many countries that might just mean a machete, for example. You know, if you can't even fight back against an armed government with a machete, you know, if machetes are outlawed, which they are in many areas of Africa, how are you going to defend yourself? How are you going to defend your orchard against a government regime that's armed with AK-47s if you don't have some way to fight back? And this isn't condoning violence. It is, in fact, condoning a distribution of power across every sector of society. And it is in that balance of power that there is the possibility of representational government. You see, everywhere around the world and throughout all of human history, the concentration of power into the hands of the few has always led to corruption, dictatorial regimes, police state regimes, and the exploitation and the mass suffering of the people, often mass starvation, sometimes genocide. Think about it. Throughout human history, I'll say it again, wherever the power is concentrated into the hands of the few, the outcomes have been disastrous, catastrophic, mass suffering, mass starvation. Look at North Korea. Look at Cuba. Look at Venezuela. Look at what's happening. Socialism, communism, dictatorships, police state regimes. And the same thing is true in gang-run nations of Africa where some of the governments are really just armed gangs. So it is a universal truth that the distribution of power, that means political power, it means firepower, it means even land ownership and private property power, if you will, when the distribution of this power is more homogeneous across a society, that society has more abundance and more peace and less violence and less exploitation and less starvation. This is a fundamental, crucial concept to understand for all of human history and the way the world operates now and forevermore. The distribution of power creates a balance of power that prevents the rise of dictatorships and the rise of monopolies and the rise of exploitative dictatorial regimes that torture, their own citizens or imprison them for speaking out against the government and so on and so forth. So think about this. The next time you see a child on a TV ad and you see that child is starving, I want you to think beyond just the bags of rice. I want you to understand that child is starving solely because there is a lack of freedom in that nation. And while there's nothing wrong with sending food today, most likely that food's going to end up in the hands of the dictator and not the child. And that the real long-term solution is to overthrow the dictators, to establish representational democracies, to teach and uplift these populations about the power of private ownership, the power of due process, the power of establishing and recognizing law in a nation, and the power of the Second Amendment, which applied elsewhere might not be called the Second Amendment, but it is the universal right to self-defense against oppressive regimes that commit murder against their own citizens. These are crucial points to understand history, to understand human nature, and to understand our own collective future. So I hope this makes sense, and I encourage you to think more deeply about what I've just said. And I think as you study human history, you'll find that this is all true. It rings true again and again and again. All the cycles of human history repeat themselves, and they will continue to repeat themselves, because even as time moves forward, human nature stays the same. Humans are no different now than they were 100 years ago or 1,000 years ago. The same people, the same dark hearts sometimes, the same inspirations, the same ideas, the same greed, the same seductions. Humans are the same as they've always been. And although time moves forward and maybe technology is different, the human nature behind it all is no different at all. And that's why you can confidently predict the future by learning the past. Because the past will be reflected almost exactly in the things that unfold in the years ahead. Thank you for listening. My name is Mike Adams, the Health Ranger. You can check out my website at naturalnews.com or my podcast at healthrangerreport.com. Take care. We all know that nutrition can help keep you healthy and improve the quality of your life. But when it comes to nutrition, so many of the products out there lack the nutrition they claim. There's a lot of organic fraud in the organic industry. There are a lot of products, especially superfoods, that are contaminated with toxic herbicides and pesticides. And heavy metals are extremely common in many foods, such as turmeric, for example, or maca, or even cacao nibs or various forms of cacao powder. Coffee often contains cadmium. A lot of people don't know that. And many detox supplements, such as zeolites, are loaded with aluminum and lead in most cases. We know this because we do extensive testing to verify the safety, the efficacy, and in many cases, the nutritional potency of certain foods and supplements that we're providing at healthrangerstore.com. We use an ISO-accredited laboratory facility that we built, that we own. We run it. We have multiple mass spec instruments. Some of these instruments, just one instrument costs, $400,000 or something in that range. It's incredible. We invested millions of dollars in this laboratory facility so that we could bring you ultra clean, verified, safe foods and supplements at a level of quality and integrity that no one else in the world follows, not even close. Our requirements for low heavy metals are so strict that 80% of the lots that we test to consider acquiring, we have to reject them. They're just too dirty for us to even consider selling to our customers. But of course, those same lots are purchased by other nutritional supplement companies, and they're sold through other retailers like Amazon.com. They don't care about the cleanliness of products like we do. Nobody has these standards of nutrition and safety. We have the most strict standards. They're even more strict than Canada, Japan, the European Union, any country in the world. Nobody even comes close to our internal standards, which are published, by the way, at lowheavymetalsverified.com and glyphosate-tested.com. You want to see why we're the cleanest provider of foods and superfoods and nutritional supplements in the world using today's best science? Just check us out at healthrangerstore.com. Look at the certifications on our product pages that tell you how it's been tested and how it's graded. A++++, for example, on heavy metals or glyphosate testing. You'll see the results. You can look up the numbers yourself. You can see that it's the cleanest supplements and superfoods and personal care products available anywhere in the world, all verified by today's best science. That's what we do at healthrangerstore.com. And the more you support us, by the way, the more we can invest in these laboratory facilities, in researching new breakthrough products, herbal supplements, nutritional superfoods, combinations that achieve extraordinary results like turmeric and black pepper, for example. We will bring you more products because that's what we're into. Clean, efficacious, validated superfoods and supplements that help protect your health and enhance the quality of your life. That's what we believe in. To find all these nutritional solutions and more, just go to healthrangerstore.com/nutrition. There you'll find hundreds of products with outstanding nutrition, laboratory verification, tested for heavy metals, pesticides, and much more. Super nutrient-dense superfoods, personal care products, health supplements, home care products, and much more. Again, the URL is healthrangerstore.com/nutrition. Healing the world through clean food, that's our slogan. HealthRangerStore.com. I'm Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, and I thank you for your support.